Maintenance now.
First Samuel chapter 20. If you're able to stand, let's go ahead and stand in honor of God's word. I'm going to read one text, and I'll just preface what I read with this. Of course, Sunday nights we've been going through the life of Elisha, but in my Bible reading this week, this particular passage just reached out of the page and grabbed a hold of my heart and stopped me. And I thought, well, Lord, what do we got going on here? It moved me. And so so that's why we're here. Verse 37. There is a special, right? I'll get time to collect myself. All right. When the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" Father, I pray thee bless the message. Thank you. Thank you. Pray that you bless the special music. Pray that you just minister to people tonight. Thank you for your word. We sure love it. Pray that you'd make yourself so real to people here through us this week as we go about our business. I pray that the membership of this church would feel God and that those around them would feel God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pete and Brianna attend. Okay, all right, well, here we are. Brother John, when do you go on your Canada trip? We're going to pray for you. All right. Well, so the passage of Scripture we just read, it's important that you understand the backdrop behind it. So let's go ahead and just look back to, let's begin at verse 18 of the same chapter, and I'll try to give you a little info here. So David is getting very uncomfortable in the house of King Saul. I reckon if you have a man throw a javelin at you three times, hard, with the intention of putting the javelin through you, not just playing William Tell, I reckon if you had to live in that kind of environment, that you'd feel uncomfortable too. And so David tells his good friend Jonathan, I would say best friend, who, by the way, is also the son of King Saul. He says to Jonathan, he says, I need to skip the meal this particular week. He said, I think your dad is out to get me, I think. Right. He said, can you tell your dad that I've got to meet my family and we celebrate a feast day if he asks why I'm not there? Jonathan said, well, I will. And then this is where we'll take up our reading here. Verse 18. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone easel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, Go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, Behold, the arrows are on this side of the of thee, take them. Then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, Behold, the arrows are beyond thee. Go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. So the 3 days passed, and David arrived, and he would witness this in secret. Jonathan and the young man would be out in the field, and Jonathan would pull back his bow, let her fly. He'd shoot a couple arrows, and then he'd tell the young man, go pick those up, and then he'd shoot another one beyond them all. And as the young man ran out there, David was waiting in the woods. What's Jonathan going to say? What's he going to say? He was ready to hear the message. By the way, it'd be very important for him to pay attention to hear the message. He knew he needed to be led by God. And when Jonathan hollered out at the young man, when he said, Is not the arrow beyond thee? Now to David, I'm sure he felt a little anxiousness in his heart. And I think, even for Jonathan, that was a very difficult message for him to share. Because they understood the significance of it. So, though there's a lad listening, hearing, there's a message to an individual there. And the lad had no idea what the meaning behind Jonathan's statement really was. He understood it as literal, and I want to talk about that as well. But David knew that means it's time to go. And Jonathan knew, well, my friend's got to be separated from me. That'd have been difficult. But it was the will of the Lord. Now, for the young man, let's consider him for just a moment. Is not the arrow beyond thee? Now, what is he saying there? Can you see the young man? He's looking around. He's got these arrows. And basically, to the young man, Jonathan is saying, what you're looking for will not be found where you're at. Are you with me? What you're looking for will not be found where you're at. You're going to have to go a little farther. So let's talk about that first. Because there's no doubt there's a lot of people looking for love in the wrong places, right? Sorry to allow that to come back through my brain, but you know, there are people who, there are even Christians who really are looking for genuine satisfaction and pleasure in the things of the world. Maybe we've all been part of that. Maybe you know some people like that right now. And the end result of that, the end result of that is just like Solomon, just like what Solomon told us. Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Because if anybody knew what it was like to have everything, materially, experientially, well, Solomon did. And he would come back to his senses by the grace of God and tell us in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's empty! And in a sense, he might be saying, is not the arrow
beyond thee, to those who are looking for peace and purpose and pleasure and gratification and contentment in the things of this world. It's not the arrow beyond that. It is it not? Maybe some of you have been there. There are some people who will try everything else before they ever try God. I mean, they'll try the drug scene, they'll try the alcohol scene, they'll try the partying scene, they'll try the fitting in scene, and when all is said and done, especially if you're a child of God, it's just empty. It's not the arrow beyond thee. So, here's a Christian who they're looking for inner security. They're looking for acceptance. But they're looking in all the wrong places. They're looking for it through the way people treat them. And granted, hopefully in the house of God, we're treating people with grace and love and kindness, and we're initiating this. Hello? Hopefully in the house of God we are, but I know sometimes that's not the case. But regardless what happens at times, people are looking for this acceptance, this security in the crowd, and sometimes they do foolish things to feel accepted. And the tragedy here is what they discover is not everybody will accept them, no matter how hard they try. Because humans are fickle. And nobody is going to win everybody, let alone a majority. Most of us are thankful to have a few good friends. Now, I feel like in our church we're pretty close. I really do. If I'm wrong, don't tell me, but I just feel like y'all like me. So I like you, so. But, you know, in the world, this is where it really gets scary, is in the world. And teens, man, there's a lot of pressure on you. I know there is. Especially if you go to public schools. I mean, there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of foul language, dirty jokes contend with, and try to, you know, you want to try to dress in a way that you don't stand out too much, but you need to be modest. You want to look right. But you know, and so, and sometimes you do things that you feel uncomfortable about. You know, why? To fit in? And I say to you, it's not the arrow beyond thee. It's not the arrow beyond thee. Come on, adults, we've been there. Matter of fact, some of us are still there. You go to work, out in the world. You want to fit in. And sometimes you find yourself compromising or accepting things that you know, this isn't right. And in your heart, it grieves you and it stirs you and it... You know it's affecting your relationship with the Lord. And I just echo, I speak to you because I felt like the Lord speak to me. It's not the arrow beyond thee. We're never going to find true acceptance and security in the things of this world, let alone the people of this world, even the people that we look up to most. Where are we going to find it? We're going to find it in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's really what we're going to find. That's it. He's never going to let us down. He'll always be there for us. I know. Sometimes though we struggle. We struggle for this reason, because we don't understand his ways and his operations in our entirety, because we're finite. And we pray for things and we pray for situations and we keep praying. No, don't, be careful. Don't let yourself get bitter at God. No, don't let yourself get turned off. I've got a little mini sermon just in the midst of this sermon to help you, okay? There are some great blessings to persevere in prayer. One of them is it keeps you in the presence of God. Even though you're not getting your answer, the perseverance is keeping you close to God. And that's a good thing because it's helping you. Shannon, I think it was you that gave me this acrostic years ago about push. Pray until something happens. But the reality is, if you are praying, something is happening. And where's it happening at? First and foremost, in you, in me. By the way, that's the most important work that needs to be done. I can't help anybody unless I grow. You can't help anybody unless you grow. And what do we need to grow in? We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. The most important person for us to know is the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we know about Him, the more we can rest in Him. His timing is always best. Hey, don't think you care about your loved one more than He does. Hello? He loves your loved one more than you do. That's not possible. Yes. Yeah. I can only love because He's given me the ability to love. Amen. To understand how much He loves us. Just a degree. We can't even hold it in. It floods. The juice squeezes out of our eyes if we get to know too much. We got to tell ourselves, and I believe the Spirit of God, as I've read it anyways, to me, the Lord was saying, it's not the arrow beyond thee. There's only one place to find real contentment. There's only one place to find real pleasure. Only one place to find real joy. Now, we've had a lot of loss in this church. I don't know if you all been counting, but in 3 months, we've had 4 deaths. Of either members or loved ones, close loved ones of members. As far as I know, those 4 are all in heaven. They're in heaven. What's strange about it, we grieve for those who are here, not those who are lost. Loss. Gone. That's the word, gone. We grieve for those that are here, not those who are going on to glory. You see, because the reality is like, it'd be like your loved one moving to Hawaii and you feeling bad about it. But I'm talking a better place than Hawaii. Not only that, they find the fountain of youth when they get there. That's all right, brother, sister, you're going to catch up sooner or later. But be careful that you don't, let me just talk to those who are grieving, that you don't let yourself get weighed down in the past or weighted down in the things you have no control over now. That absence is not the arrow beyond you. I don't know if that's making sense. It is in my mind. I can't find, that relationship isn't coming back till I get to glory. So it's not the arrow beyond me. Look up unto the heavens from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. It's not the arrow beyond me. But there's another aspect of this little thought, this little phrase that got my attention, and that's really the part that I zeroed in on. It was a way that the Lord was telling David, it's time to move on. 3 things are going to take place in David's life as a result of this. And this message said these 3 things. It said separation. Separation. Separation from a friend, from a loved one. He and Jonathan were close. But it was a message of safety from an enemy. You got to leave if you're going to escape your enemy. But it was a message that meant you better seek God. Because David wouldn't be left with a whole lot of choices. He didn't know exactly where he was going to go. I mean, he's going to be the most wanted man in Israel as far as the king was concerned after this situation, right? the most wanted man in Israel, only because the king has got an envious eye. And the whole story is not going to be brought out. And even those in the know, they didn't have the power. But even David in his own heart, he didn't want to go to battle with the king, God's anointed, so he knew, I got to go. And he fled. And the rest of the book of 1 Samuel is David on the run. Running from this village to that village, this mountain to that mountain. He's even trying to find refuge amongst Philistines. That didn't work. And he's going in and out, and you even read portions where you think, David, are you backslidden? You seem a little carnal there, but I don't know if we'd have handled it any better. I don't know if we'd handle it any better. We're made of the same stuff he was. But all of that was in this one little statement. It's not the arrow beyond thee. And David knew exactly what that meant. I don't know about you, but I believe there's a time in your life, as there's been a time in my life, on numerous occasions, maybe for all of us, I'm sure for all of us, where God had to move us, God had to adjust us. I mean, first of all, I remember just in Kingsley, Michigan, and just surrendering my life to the Lord, thinking, man, I got to get away from this crowd. If I hang around this crowd, I'm going to self-destruct with alcohol and all that stuff. I'm going to self-destruct hanging around these people, and I can only say no so long if I'm surrounded. I got to get out of here. I surrendered my life to the Lord, and I just felt like, and I didn't know that passage. That wasn't on my brain, but in the spiritual sense, the arrow was beyond me where I was at. This was not the location for me. I had to move on. Lord led me to Hiles Anderson College. There from 86 to 89, I'm thankful for it. I am very thankful for what I learned there. I didn't graduate. Didn't flunk, but I didn't graduate. Well, I got a kind of a degree. I got her. I learned some valuable character lessons and valuable witnessing skills that were very valuable. God wanted me to have all those things. I'm very thankful for that. But I remember my third year there in 1989, I was not progressing very well academically. It was like I was more ministry-minded than I was academically-minded, which I don't want to complain, but that's just the way it was. John, I was giving myself to ministry, but not academia. But I was putting my money to academia, but really what I was doing was paying money to work in the ministry. That's a pretty good gig there. I wish we had some people like that in the church. I want to pay some money to work in the ministry. Anyways, so, we're there 3 years, and she came for the one-year program, the MRS program, I guess. No, she didn't. No, she was there 88 to 89, and she said, well, I'm only here for 1 year. I said, you know what, you're leaving? I think the Lord's leading me out too. I'm there, she's leaving, I'm thinking, is not the arrow beyond thee? Yes, it is. It's down in Indianapolis. I'm going to head down there. I got plugged in down there. I learned I'm still learning the lessons, but I learned some things down there. And Pastor Dan Tidd, I don't know what he was thinking, but he offered me a youth pastor position. I'll take it. So I was there, and he couldn't get rid of me. There 10 years. And in that 10th year, the Lord started stirring up the nest. It's not the arrow beyond thee. I didn't know where, but I knew it wasn't there. Well, hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? But we see this in our lives, and maybe the Lord did some things in your life to bring you to the Lighthouse Baptist Church. You were in a place where it got uncomfortable. You were in a place where things maybe didn't seem right. Or maybe they just flat out weren't right. And all that message from the Lord, though you didn't hear it in these exact words, it was this in a sense, is not the arrow beyond thee? It's not here. What you're looking for is not here. You better look somewhere else. Come on now. There's a lot of people that ended up here during the COVID era. There's a lot of people that ended up here that way because of that. I wish I could say every member here was a brand new convert and got baptized in this church. That's not the case. There's scores of folks that have come here for various reasons. We look at Abraham. Look at Abraham. I mean, here he is. He's with his dad, Terah. They're heading to Canaan land, according to Genesis 11. They are headed to Canaan land, and Abraham's older brother had to die. His older brother, whose name was Haran. That's an odd name for a guy, but I'm not making any bones about that. So, dad quit moving when his son Haran died. Well, you leave chapter 11, go into chapter 12, and we find that Abraham finally came out. But I just wonder there, at the very end of chapter 11, I just wonder after this long stagnant period where his dad quit moving forward to Canaan land, which I believe he knew about the will of God, he quit moving forward. I believe that in some way, somehow, God was saying to Abraham, "Is not the arrow beyond thee? It's not here, Abraham. You're not going to be the father of many nations here. I'm not going to bless you here. I'm not going to show you my will for your life here. There's not the arrow beyond thee." And he stepped out. Hello? And every time he stepped out, God showed him more. Even the nation of Israel, there they are tucked into Egypt. They've been there 400 years, got kind of acclimated. Even during the tough times, you'd think, well, they said, "Help us, help us." But we found out their real heart. Didn't take too long as they followed Moses out of Egypt for us to discover we had it better in Egypt. That was what they said. Better in Egypt. It's like they forgot all about the bondage. What about the leeks and garlic? And I don't have a problem with leeks and garlic, to be quite frank. But, I mean, they were forfeiting the manna. They were upset about the manna. So there they are. So in Deuteronomy, it says God had to stir up the nest. Make them uncomfortable. It's not the arrow beyond thee, Israel. It was. And too often, ladies and gentlemen, we get stuck in a place where we think, well, I'm just going to go through the motions. I was thinking about this today. You know, a part-time Christian is always a victim of a full-time devil. Always. Always. Now listen, we got an adversary whether we like it or not, but a part-time Christian, I tell you, the devil doesn't mind letting you lukewarm cool off. I remember reading this years ago. You know, you can boil a live frog if you do it real slow by degree. You can boil a live frog, boil him to death, if you just turn the heat up little by little. That dumb ribbit doesn't have enough sense to get out of there. You know what happens? God's children, sometimes we can get so lukewarm. And we implode. You see, we're not living for this world, are we? When all is said and done, we look back at the possessions and the prosperity or the pleasures and the things of this world, God's going to say, "Is not the arrow beyond thee? Set your affection on things that are above. Not in things that are in the earth. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That's where the answer is. Father, we love you. We pray that you bless the message and minister to our hearts. Thank you for your word. I pray that whoever this was for, they would receive it. I know it was a message for one man at the time it was written, but served a dual purpose. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to be sensitive to your voice, to your leadership. Sometimes it's not a matter of geographical change. It's a matter of practice change. It's a matter of how we use the time you've given us. May you bless us and work in our hearts. Bless our invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian.